a sub-Christian
Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, I had to do that. For I had to live in an un-Christian world. Every Christian has a basic responsibility to live a Christian in an un-Christian world. They tell me that there is some among you, even in the churches, who give that ultimate allegiance to the pattern of the world. They want to be accepted socially.
When we heed a
certain call, to be ostracized,
when the world must
so
come together as
the
one,
of the world.
There are people dying, oh, when it's time
everybody
to lend a hand to
so
us,
right.
The greatest gift of
all.
Change. We are the part of God's great big family, and the truth, you know, love is all we need.
As God has shown us,
by turning stone to bread, and so we all must lend a helping hand. We are the world. We are the children. We are the ones to make a brighter day. So let's start giving.
Thank you.
tonight.
Unity of the church.
Talking about the key to success. The divine key of God, John 1:1. As we talk about that tonight, I'm praying for the people in Mississippi. They're getting water now. They got trucks. But still, they got a long ways to go. And tonight, those that listen, I'm glad that Mary in Detroit, down on 10 miles, 7 miles, 6 miles, got the lights on. Because the lights been off for 3 or 4 days. Sister Kim called me, told me her lights was off, and she's running a business. But what I'm saying to you tonight, there's some things I really want to talk about. This is the divine word of God. And God has a divine word for man, and man have to listen to what God says. One of the things I want to talk about, our ancestors built this country, and Americans built this country. Our ancestors built this country, and they built it from scratch. Y'all hear what I'm saying? So if our ancestors built this country, we need to say something about what they did and how they built this country. The eye of God is watching you and me. The eye of God is watching this nation that's going down the tube. And what I mean by that is some things happening in our world. We find out that hate, envy, and jealousy, and people killing people for positions. So something is happening in our world that tell us that we have to deal with the onslaught of Trump and his cronies to take over the government. And we have to deal with the racial makeup that's going on in this country. It's important for us to understand what's happening in Chicago. What's happening when the man in Dallas, Texas? Texas sent all the people up here. So he's racist. He's a governor, but he's racist. Because his parents came from somewhere. And it seemed like now it's a situation where it's so much of hate that's going on in this country that we have lost the word. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So it's time for us to get ready for God to bless us, get ready for God to touch us. And it's a thing that I'm looking at in this country. They still say Biden didn't win the president. Lies have took over the government. The lies of shooting FBI agents, shooting people that will stand up for the truth and right. We must deal with the lies that have been perpetrated over America, the lies being told to citizens that ain't doing nothing but trying to tell the truth, trying to tell what's going on, what's happening in our world. It's important to know what's happening in our world and why we should take a stand and to deal with the hate in the urban ghetto that's going on throughout our country. It's important to know that we're living in a dangerous time when men would not want to bring the truth. And that's very important when men do want to bring the truth. They don't want to hear the truth. And that's important that you need to hear the truth about what's really going on in this country. I think the most important thing now is people learning the truth of what's going on in our world and with all the business and the lies, and people buy into lies and say it's all right. But we have to stand for truth and justice and equality. We have to stand for that. And once we stand for it, we have to find out what we need to do to bring truth. And I think right now we're in a situation where this country's all messed up because those that try to take over, those who try to control the government, those that keep sending lies out to our people, and we keep buying the lies. So the assault weapons, all of that's going on now. The killing of our children in schools, and nobody said nothing about the mass killing of our children that's going on in our schools. And nobody really said nothing. Ain't nobody really talked about the hate that's being put out by people that have was in power and lying about the truth of what's going on. And we got to deal with the truth. And if we don't deal with the truth, we are a nation being lost. He said again, we're a nation being lost if we don't deal with the reality and the truth of God and what's really going on. We need to deal with the truth of really what's going on and what's happening right now. And that's what we need to talk about. Some people don't want to talk about that. You just have to talk about what happened in America. This is Biden in Pennsylvania. This is the president.
My fellow Americans, please, if you have a seat, thank you. I speak to you tonight from sacred ground in America, Independence Hall in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Biden talking about the race.
America made its declaration of independence to the world more than two centuries ago with an idea unique among nations, that in America, we're all created equal. This is where the United States Constitution is written and debated. This is where we set in motion the most extraordinary experiment of self-government the world has ever known. With three simple words, we the people, we the people. These two documents and the ideas they embody, equality and democracy, are the rock upon which this nation is built. They're how we became the greatest nation on earth. They're why, for more than two centuries, America has been a beacon to the world. But as I stand here tonight, equality and democracy are under assault. We do ourselves no favor to pretend otherwise. So tonight, I've come to this place where it all began to speak as plainly as I can to the nation about the threats we face, about the power we have in our own hands to meet these threats, and about the incredible future that lies in front of us if only we choose it. We must never forget, we the people are the true heirs of the American experiment that began more than two centuries ago. We the people have burning inside of each of us the flame of liberty that was lit here at Independence Hall. A flame that lit our way through abolition, the Civil War, suffrage, the Great Depression, world wars, civil rights. That sacred flame still burns. Now in our time, as we build an America that is more prosperous, free and just, that is the work of my presidency, a mission I believe in with my whole soul. But first, we must be honest with each other and with ourselves. Too much of what's happening in our country today is not normal. Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic. Now, I want to be very clear up front. Not every Republican, not even the majority of Republicans are MAGA Republicans. Not every Republican embraces their extreme ideology. I know, because I've been able to work with these mainstream Republicans. But there's no question that the Republican Party today is dominated, driven, and intimidated by Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans. And that is a threat to this country. These are hard things, but I'm an American president, not a president of red America, blue America, but of all America. And I believe it's my duty to level with you, to tell the truth, no matter how difficult, no matter how painful. And here, in my view, is what is true. MAGA Republicans do not respect the Constitution. They do not believe in the rule of law. They do not recognize the will of the people. They refuse to accept the results of a free election. And they're working right now, as I speak, in state after state, to give power to decide elections in America to partisans and cronies, empowering election deniers to undermine democracy itself. MAGA forces are determined to take this country backwards. Backwards to an America where there is no right to choose, no right to privacy, no right to contraception, no right to marry who you love. They promote authoritarian leaders and they fan the flames of political violence that are a threat to our personal rights, to the pursuit of justice, to the rule of law, to the very soul of this country. They look at the mob that stormed the United States Capitol on January 6th, brutally attacking law enforcement, not as insurrectionists who placed a dagger at the throat of our democracy, but they look at them as patriots, and they see their MAGA failure to stop a peaceful transfer of power after the 2020 election as preparation for the 2022 and 2024 election. They tried everything last time to nullify the votes of 81 million people. This time, they're determined to succeed in thwarting the will of the people. That's why respected conservatives like Federal Circuit Court Judge Michael Ludwig has called Trump and the extreme MAGA Republicans, quote, a clear and present danger to our democracy. But while the threat to American democracy is real, I want to say as clearly as we can, we are not powerless in the face of these threats. We are not bystanders in this ongoing attack on democracy. There are far more Americans, from every background and belief, who reject the extreme MAGA ideology than those that accept it. And folks, it is within our power, it's in our hands, yours and mine, to stop the assault on American democracy. I believe America is at an inflection point, one of those moments that determine the shape of everything that's to come after. And now, America must choose to move forward or to move backwards. To build a future obsessed about the past, to be a nation of hope and unity and optimism, or a nation of fear, division, and of darkness. MAGA Republicans have made their choice. They embrace anger. They thrive on chaos. They live not in the light of truth, but in the shadow of lies. But together, together we can choose a different path. We can choose a better path. Forward to the future. A future of possibility. A future to build and dream and hope. And we're on that path moving ahead. I know this nation. I know you, the American people. I know your courage. I know your hearts. And I know our history. This is a nation that honors our Constitution. We do not reject it. This is a nation that believes in the rule of law. We do not repudiate it. This is a nation that respects free and fair elections. We honor the will of the people. We do not deny it. And this is a nation that rejects violence as a political tool. We do not encourage violence. We are still an America that believes in honesty and decency and respect for others. Patriotism, liberty, justice for all, hope, possibility. We are still, at our core, a democracy. And yet, history tells us the blind loyalty to a single leader and the willingness to engage in political violence is fatal to democracy. For a long time, we told ourselves that American democracy is guaranteed, but it's not. We have to defend it, protect it, stand up for it, each and every one of us. That's why tonight, I'm asking our nation to come together, unite behind the single purpose of defending our democracy regardless of your ideology. We're all called by duty and conscience to confront extremists who put their own pursuit of power above all else. Democrats, independents, mainstream Republicans, we must be stronger, more determined, and more committed to saving American democracy than MAGA Republicans are to destroying American democracy. We, the people, will not let anyone or anything tear us apart. Today, there are dangers around us we cannot allow to prevail. We hear, you've heard it, more and more talk about violence as an acceptable political tool. It's not. It can never be an acceptable tool. So I want to say this plain and simple. There is no place for political violence in America, period. None, ever. We saw law enforcement brutally attacked on January 6th. We've seen election officials, poll workers, many of them volunteers of both parties, subject to intimidation and death threats. And can you believe it? FBI agents just doing their job as directed, facing threats to their own lives from their own fellow citizens. On top of that, there are public figures today, yesterday, and the day before predicting and all but calling for mass violence and rioting in the streets. This is inflammatory. It's dangerous. It's against the rule of law. And we, the people, must say, this is not who we are. Ladies and gentlemen, we can't be pro-insurrectionists and pro-American. They're incompatible. We can't allow violence to be normalized in this country. It's wrong. We have to reject political violence with all the moral clarity and conviction this nation can muster. Now, we can't let the integrity of our elections be undermined, for that is the path to chaos. Look, I know politics can be fierce and mean and nasty in America. I get it. I believe in the give and take of politics, in disagreement and debate and dissent. We're a big, complicated country. But democracy endures only if we, the people, respect the guardrails of the republic. Only if we, the people, accept the results of free and fair elections. Only if we, the people, see politics not as total war, but mediation of our differences. Democracy cannot survive when one side believes there are only two outcomes to an election. Either they win or they were cheated. And that's where the MAGA Republicans are today. They don't understand what every patriotic American knows. You can't love your country only when you win. It's fundamental. American democracy only works only if we choose to respect the rule of law and the institutions that were set up in this chamber behind me. Only if we respect our legitimate political differences. I will not stand by and watch. I will not. The will of the American people be overturned by wild conspiracy theories and baseless evidence-free claims of fraud. I will not stand by and watch elections in this country stolen by people who simply refuse to accept that they lost. I will not stand by and watch the most fundamental freedom in this country, the freedom to vote, and have your vote counted and be taken from you and the American people. Look, as your president, I will defend our democracy with every fiber of my being, and I'm asking every American to join me. Throughout our history, America's often made the greatest progress coming out of some of our darkest moments, like you're hearing that bullhorn. I believe we can and must do that again. And we are. MAGA Republicans look at America and see carnage and darkness and despair. They spread fear and lies. Lies told for profit and power. But I see a different America. An America with an unlimited future. An America that's about to take off. I hope you see it as well. Just look around. I believe we could lift America from the depths of COVID. So we passed the largest economic recovery package since Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And today, America's economy is faster, stronger than any other advanced nation in the world. We have more to go. I believe we can build a better America. So we passed the biggest infrastructure investment since President Dwight D. Eisenhower. And we've now embarked on a decade of rebuilding the nation's roads, bridges, highways, ports, water systems, high-speed internet, railroads. I believe we can make America safer. We passed the most significant gun safety law since President Clinton. I believe we could go from being the highest cost of prescriptions in the world to making prescription drugs and health care more affordable. So we passed the most significant health care reform since President Obama signed the Affordable Care Act. And I believe we could create a clean energy future and save the planet. So we passed the most important climate initiative ever, ever, ever. The cynics and the critics tell us nothing can get done, but they're wrong. There is not a single...
Well, I'm a president. He's talking about cleaning up his country and talking about what can happen with Donald Trump and all the lies that have been told about what happened and the takeover of our government.
Tough, but today COVID no longer controls our lives. More and lifted out of poverty. Millions of veterans once exposed to toxic burn pits will now get what they deserve for their families and their compensation.
This is the president Biden talking about.
American manufacturers come alive across the heartland, and the future will be made in America. no matter what the white supremacists and the extremists say. I made a bet on you, the American people, and that bet is paying off, proving that from darkness, the darkness of Charlottesville, of COVID, of gun violence, of insurrection, we can see the light. Light is now visible. Light that will guide us forward, not only in words, but in actions. Actions for you, for your children, for your grandchildren, for America. Even in this moment, with all the challenges we face, I give you my word as a Biden, I've never been more optimistic about America's future. Not because of me, but because of who you are. We're going to end cancer as we know it. Mark my words. We're going to create millions of new jobs in a clean energy economy. We're going to think big. We're going to make the 21st century another American century. Because the world needs us to. That's where we need to focus our energy. Not in the past. Not on divisive culture wars, not on the politics of grievance, but on the future we can build together. The MAGA Republicans believe that for them to succeed, everyone else has to fail. They believe America, not like I believe about America. I believe America is big enough for all of us to succeed, not like I believe about America. I believe America is big enough for all of us to succeed. And that is the nation we're building, the nation where no one is left behind. I ran for president because I believe we're in a battle for the soul of this nation. I still believe that to be true. I believe the soul is the breath, the life, and the essence of who we are. The soul is what makes us us. The soul of America is defined by the sacred proposition that all are created equal. In the image of God, that all are entitled to be treated with decency, dignity, and respect, that all deserve justice and a shot at lives of prosperity and consequence, and that democracy must be defended, for democracy makes all these things possible. Folks, and it's up to us. Democracy begins and will be preserved in we, the people's habits of the heart, in our character, optimism that is tested yet endures, courage that digs deep when we need it, empathy that fuels democracy, the willingness to see each other not as enemies but as fellow Americans. Look, our democracy isn't perfect. It always has been. Notwithstanding those folks you hear on the other side there, they're entitled to be outrageous. This is a democracy. But history and common sense good manners is nothing they've ever suffered from. But history and common sense tell us that opportunity, liberty, and justice for all are most likely to come to pass in a democracy. We have never fully realized the aspirations of our founding, but every generation has opened those doors a little bit wider, include more people have been excluded before. My fellow Americans, America is an idea, the most powerful idea in the history of the world, and it beats in the hearts of the people of this country. It beats in all our hearts. It unites America. It is the American creed. The idea that America guarantees that everyone be treated with dignity. It gives hate no safe harbor. It installs in everyone the belief that no matter where you start in life, there's nothing you can't achieve. That's who we are. That's what we stand for. That's what we believe. That's precisely what we're doing. Opening doors, creating possibilities, focusing on the future. And we're only just beginning. Our task is to make our nation free and fair, just and strong, noble and whole. And this work is the work of democracy. The work of this generation is the work of our time, for all time. We can't afford to leave anyone on the sidelines. We need everyone to do their part. So speak up, speak out, get engaged, vote, vote, vote. And if we do our duty, if we do our duty in 2022 and beyond, then ages still to come will say, we, all of us here, we kept the bait. We preserved democracy. We heeded our worst. We heeded not our worst instincts, but our better angels. We proved that for all its imperfections, America is still the beacon to the world, an ideal to be realized, a promise to be kept. There's nothing more important, nothing more sacred, nothing more American. That's our soul. That's who we truly are. And that's who we must always be. I have no doubt, none, that this is who we will be. And that we'll come together as a nation that will secure our democracy. That for the next 200 years, we'll have what we had the past 200 years, the greatest nation on the face of the earth. We just need to remember who we are. We are the United States of America, the United States of America. And may God protect our nation, and may God protect all those who stand watch over our democracy. God bless you all. Democracy. Thank you.
That's our president. And I think he made a good speech. I think he made a good speech talking about what's going on in our country, how we have failed each other because the takeover. And this is divine word tonight, and we're talking about a divine word tonight. And we all start talking about the key, the divine key to your success and your healing. And we're praying for the people down in Mississippi. The lady told me she got some water. They brought water to her door. And lots of people right now out of their houses in Canton and down in Pearl, they're flooding. Like in the day of Noah, flood, and God is cleaning the earth. God is doing something. I got some scripture. Romans 1, verse 1, Romans 1, chapter 1, verse 17. Galatians 6, verse 7, Exodus chapter 3, and Numbers 32 and 1. St. Matthew 6, 33, seek first the kingdom of God. I want to say to you tonight that listening, that was our president, he was saying that when you lose, you lose. This country was taken over, and a lot of people want to believe we was on a hostile takeover of America. And it's not over with yet. We're still fighting racism and white supremacy. We're still fighting that now. And Dr. King said it, and it's still true that we're still fighting racism and white supremacy in America. And it's come to show you how deep it is and what's going on in this country. It shows you what's about to happen right before your eyes and my eyes, and we see what's going on. That it's still, we still have to have the right to vote. How long will we suffer? How long will we hold out?
I know you're asking today, how long will it take? Somebody's asking, how long will prejudice blind the visions of men? I come to say to you this afternoon, however difficult the moment,
yes, sir,
however frustrating the hour, it will not be long, because truth crushed to earth will rise again.
Yes, sir.
How long? Not long.
Yes,
because no lie can live forever.
Yes, sir.
How long? Not long.
How long? Yes,
because you shall reap what you sow.
Yes, sir.
How long? Forever on the scaffold, long forever on the throne.
Yes,
that scaffold sways the future.
Yes,
universe is long, but it bends towards justice.
Yes, sir.
How long?
Not long.
Because my eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
Yes, sir.
He's trampling out the vintage by the grapes of wrath and storm.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. He's loosed the faithful lightning of his terrible swift sword.
Yes, sir.
His truth is marching on.
Yes, sir.
He has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never call retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before his judgment seat.
Yes.
Oh, be swift, my soul, stand for him. Be jubilant, my feet. Our God is marching on. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah.
Not long.
Mr. John. Mr. Scowl, and to all of the members of the Nobel Committee, ladies and gentlemen, it is impossible to begin this lecture without again expressing my deep appreciation to the Nobel Committee of the Norwegian Parliament for bestowing upon me and the civil rights movement in the United States such a great honor. Occasionally in life, that are those moments of unutterable fulfillment which cannot completely be explained by those symbols called words. Their meaning can only be articulated by the inaudible language of the heart, such as the moment I am presently experiencing. I experience this high and joyous moment, not for myself alone, but for those devotees of nonviolence who have moved so courageously against the ramparts of racial injustice, and who in the process have acquired a new estimate of their own human worth. Many of them are young and cultured. Others are middle-aged and middle-class. The majority are poor and untutored. But they are all united in the quiet conviction that it is better to suffer in dignity than accept segregation in humiliation. They are the real heroes of the freedom struggle. They are the noble people for whom I'd accept the Nobel Peace Prize. I would like to say also that it is a happy experience to know that so many friends who have worked closely with me over the last few years in this struggle were willing to go into their pocketbooks and their means and their humble financial situations to come to Oslo to be a part of this experience. And naturally, it is a great pleasure and privilege to have my devoted wife, my mother and father, my sister and brother, and among the many other friends, my close associate, the one who has been the dearest friend to me in this struggle, Ralph David Abernathy. I would also like to say just a word about the many courtesies extended by the Norwegian people. I have traveled in many lands and many places over the world, but very seldom, if ever, have I found people more friendly than the people of Norway. And we will long remember all of the courtesies extended and your great friendliness. And I particularly want to thank the committee, especially Mr. John, for the eloquent words that he uttered yesterday at the ceremony and yesterday evening at the banquet. I can assure you that all of these expressions of support are of inestimable value for the continuance of my humble efforts to make brotherhood, freedom, and justice realities in the United States of America. This evening, I would like to use this lofty and historic platform to discuss what appears to me to be the most pressing problem confronting mankind today. Modern man has brought the whole world to an awe-inspiring threshold of the future. He has reached new and astonishing peaks of scientific success. He has produced machines that think, and instruments that peer into the unfathomable ranges of interstellar space. He has built gigantic bridges to span the seas and gargantuan buildings to kiss the skies. His airplanes and spaceships have dwarfed distance, placed time in chain, and carved the highways through the stratosphere. This is a dazzling picture of modern man's scientific and technological progress. Yet in spite of these spectacular strides in science and technology, and still unlimited ones to come, something basic is missing. That is a sort of poverty of the spirit, which stands in glaring contrast to our scientific and technological abundance. The richer we have become materially, the poorer we have become morally and spiritually. We have learned to fly the air like birds and swim the sea like fish, but we have not learned the simple art of living together as brothers. Every man lives in two realms, the internal and the external. The internal is that realm of spiritual ends expressed in art, literature, morals, and religion. The external is that complex of devices, techniques, mechanisms, and instrumentalities by means of which we live. Our problem today is that we have allowed the internal to become lost in the external. We have allowed the means by which we live to outdistance the ends for which we live. So much of modern life can be summarized in that arresting dictum of the poet Thoreau, improved means to an unimproved end. This is a serious predicament, the deep and haunting problem confronting modern man. If we are to survive today, our moral and spiritual lag must be eliminated. Enlarged material power spelled enlarged peril. That is not proportionate growth of the soul. When the without of man's nature subjugates the within, dark storm clouds begin to form in the world. The problem of spiritual and moral lag, which constitutes modern man's chief dilemma, expresses itself in three larger problems which grow out of man's ethical infantilism. Each of these problems, while appearing to be separate and isolated, is inextricably bound to the other. I refer to racial injustice, poverty, and war. The first problem that I would like to mention is racial injustice. The struggle to eliminate the evil of racial injustice constitutes one of the major struggles of our time. Present upsurge of the Negro people of the United States grows out of a deep and passionate determination to make freedom and equality a reality here and now. In one sense, the civil rights movement in the United States is a special American phenomenon which must be understood in the light of American history and dealt with in terms of the American situation. But on another and more important level, what is happening in the United States today is a relatively small part of a world development. We live in a day, says the philosopher Alfred North Whitehead, when civilization is shifting its basic outlook, a major turning point in history, where the presuppositions on which society is structured are being analyzed, sharply challenged, and profoundly changed. What we are seeing now is a freedom explosion, the realization of an idea whose time has come, to use Victor Hugo's phrase. The deep rumbling of discontent that we hear today is the thunder of disinherited masses rising from dungeons of oppression to the bright hills of freedom. In one majestic chorus, the rising masses are singing in the words of our freedom song, "Ain't gonna let nobody turn us around." All over the world like a fever, the freedom movement is spreading in the widest liberation in history. The great masses of people are determined to end the exploitation of their races and their land. They are awake and moving toward their goal like a tidal wave. You can hear them rumbling in every village street, on the docks, in the houses, among the students, in the churches, and at political meetings. Historic movement was for several centuries that of the nations and societies of Western Europe out into the rest of the world and conquests of various sorts. That period, the era of colonialism, is at an end. East is meeting West. The earth is being redistributed. Yes, we are shifting our basic outlooks. Now, these developments should not surprise any student of history. Oppressed people cannot remain oppressed forever. The yearning for freedom eventually manifests itself. The Bible tells a thrilling story of how Moses stood in Pharaoh's court centuries ago and cried, "Let my people go." This is a kind of opening chapter in a continuing story. Present struggle in the United States is a later chapter in the same unfolding story. Something within has reminded the Negro of his birthright of freedom. And something without has reminded him that it can be gained. Consciously or unconsciously, he has been caught up by the zeitgeist. And with his black brothers of Africa and his brown and yellow brothers in Asia, South America, and the Caribbean, the United States Negro is moving with a sense of great urgency toward the promised land of racial justice. Fortunately, some significant strides have been made in the struggle to end the long night of racial injustice. We have seen the magnificent drama of independence unfold in Asia and Africa. Just 30 years ago, there were only three independent nations in the whole of Africa. But today, 35 African nations have risen from colonial bondage. In the United States, we have witnessed the gradual demise of the system of racial segregation. The Supreme Court's decision of 1954, outlawing segregation in the public schools, gave a legal and constitutional death blow to the whole doctrine of separate but equal. The court decreed that separate facilities are inherently unequal, that to segregate a child on the basis of his race is to deny that child equal protection of the law. This decision came as a great beacon light of hope to millions of disinherited people. Then came that glowing day a few months ago when a strong civil rights bill became the law of the land. This bill, which was first recommended and promoted by President Kennedy, was passed because of the overwhelming support from millions of Americans, Negro and white. Came as a bright interlude in the long and sometimes turbulent struggle for civil rights, the beginning of a second Emancipation Proclamation, providing a comprehensive legal basis for equality of opportunity. Since the passage of this bill, we have seen some encouraging and surprising signs of compliance. I'm happy to report that by and large, communities all over the southern part of the United States are obeying the civil rights law and showing remarkable good sense in the process. Another indication that progress is being made was found in the recent presidential election in the United States. The American people revealed great maturity by overwhelmingly rejecting a presidential candidate who had become identified with extremism, racism, and retrogression. The voters of our nation rendered a telling blow to the radical right. They defeated those elements in our society which seek to pit white against Negro and lead the nation down a dangerous fascist path. Now let me not leave you with a false impression. The problem is far from solved. We still have a long, long way to go before the dream of freedom is a reality for the Negro in the United States. To put it figuratively in biblical language, we have left the dusty soils of Egypt, crossed the Red Sea, whose waters had for years been hardened by a long and piercing winter of massive resistance. But before we reach the majestic shores of the Promised Land, that is a frustrating and bewildering